Coming up on Patriots This Week, the big chill, the bigger comeback.
That was a heck of an effort by our players.
What a crazy game.
After overcoming an insurmountable deficit, an overtime decision becomes Patriot lore.
Defer and take the win. And even the captains didn't know. We didn't like.
The win was significant in the game.
Bill's a genius. He's a genius.
But the coach knows it's the players who win games.
A lot of guys are heroes tonight.
So it was a great call because we won.
Now it's time to get crazy on this Thanksgiving edition of Patriots This Week.
In a year where we've seen the sporting improbable, the Patriots pulled off the actual impossible. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak, and joining me as usual, former tight end Jermaine Wiggins. What's up, Wiggy?
What up, Zolak?
Former linebacker Matt Chatham. Matt, how we doing?
Doing well.
Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving, and we got a bunch of leftovers. I'm glad these former turkeys joined me in. And guys, I mean, we got to start with a guy that's actually helped you get rings. Tom Brady. He's got to be considered the best bad weather quarterback of our time.
He's 33-2 as a starting quarterback and 30 degrees under. Now he's 34-2. And I mean, the guy is tremendous when it comes to cold weather, because the way he's able to throw the football in the cold weather is pretty remarkable. He's able to throw it. He's able to keep a nice tight spiral. And as a receiver, it's so much easier to catch it when it's got that nice tight spiral. I mean, it moves a little bit with the wind, but the tighter it is, it's not all over the place.
Matt, you play in these conditions too. Nobody likes to play in cold weather. You hate it on your skin. It hurts when you get hit. But why is he so mentally strong, this quarterback?
I think it has a little bit to do with throwing mechanics. He throws a sort of a driving ball. If you watch Peyton's ball, it kind of he's a pinpoint guy, but it's a little more loft on his
lays
ball.
It.
Yeah, he lays it in there. But it can work either way. I just think he has the kind of throwing mechanics and motion and a driving ball that works for this. He's still able to complete balls outside the numbers. I would say even beyond just the temperature, Wiggy, the thing to me that was impressive about this performance is that wind.
Yeah.
I mean, had this been 50 degrees of that wind, I think he would have had a lot of the same problems. One of the plays that jumped out to me is the very first play of the game for Peyton Manning. The drop that the other guy had, you could audibly hear it on the broadcast. You could hear it in the field. It was just like this loud slap. So as impressive it is as Tom to deliver those balls, the guys making catches, Kembrell Tompkins, Vereen, some of these guys, Edelman with some of the bouncy balls, coming up with some of those balls I think is as much a task as throwing them.
You look at this Denver defense. Did they not blitz Tom Brady enough?
You got to be careful when you blitz guys like Brady and you blitz guys like Manning, because they're so good and they can find those mismatches. I just think you don't want to blitz those guys. I wouldn't blitz great quarterbacks. I would try to play coverage behind it. I would try to play some zone, mix it up with some man, and hope that my front four could get there. And we saw Von Miller get to Brady a couple times, but ultimately they started putting a chip on him, kind of slow him down a little bit. You might want to mix in just a little bit blitz, just a little bit to kind of maybe throw off. Yeah, to kind of throw him off a little bit, but you don't want to blitz a guy like that too much.
All right, let's start with what really got this game going or didn't get it going was Stephen Ridley putting the ball on the ground. Patriots are moving the football. Here it is, an opportunity where you could take the lead at home, national stage. Ball goes on the ground, more importantly, goes 7 points the other way. Matt, what do you do with Ridley at this point?
Well, I think they did the right thing. I think they were correct to have faith in him going into this game, but he didn't reward the faith. I mean, I think if you watch that game, you still see the talent. You saw in that first drive, prior to putting it on the ground, a couple of really impressive runs, a couple stiff arms, getting 10 where maybe two or three are there for another back, but you put it on the ground. And we know in this place, we made the argument last week based on a percentage basis of carries, he wasn't that high. His three versus what he done wasn't. Four, now the numbers go out the window. So I think he's in a situation now where you have to re-earn the trust, re-earn the faith. And Wiggy and I have been talking about this a lot throughout the course of the week, that it's a whole new world. How many teams in the NFL have the back as their guy? It's really Adrian Peterson. It's hard to come up with another franchise that guy's the guy. So you're in a situation now where turnover differential is a big focus in the league. And if you don't do well, there's a second or third guy that aren't that far from the first dude.
But I think Matt brings up a good point.
You like Ridley?
I do like Ridley, but I think it comes down to this. So the simple question is this: does his production outweigh the fumbles? And at this point in time, he is a very good back, but I don't know how good his production is as a running back. It's not like he's a guy that's averaging 150 yards a game and two touchdowns, and you could say, all right, he fumbles here. We can live with that. And the other thing that hurts him is it seems like he's starting to fumble consistently. You know, it's not like, all right, he fumbled in week 3 and then he fumbled in Week 12, you know, there's this huge gap. It's like, all right, you fumbled last week, now you fumbled again, and that's still on people's mind.
Important to mention this quickly. I, as a point of context, I think he's in trouble right now. I think your role gets reduced. You have other guys to go to. But I think we should always be careful that we go overboard with this because Kevin Faulk, a great friend of mine, I think one of the best Patriots of all time, went through this as well. And I don't think giving up on a guy who can be great for you, the lesson needs to be learned, but shelving them is also pretty foolish.
I like Stephen Ridley. He's a really good kid. We're all humans. We make mistakes. We was late for the show today. You forgive and you forget. But
beep, beep. But I don't have to look over my shoulder.
Right. It's a production sport. Hey, there's Patrick Pass right there waiting to come on in. Let's kill you. All right. Let's talk about Wes Walker, guys. The return. I don't think it was either great or that people had angst or there was a lot of ill will. There were some boos. There were some cheers. They honored him prior to the game. He really wasn't that productive in the game. But, Matt, talk about the big play, the special teams error. Did he err on his part, not fair catching that ball or not conveying enough information to his teammates to get the heck out of the way?
It's a tough call. I mean, I'd love to sit here and hammer him, but Wiggy, you were down there at the game. I was out there in pregame. Wow, the conditions were so crazy. So I guess the choice that was before him is run up and field it with a vice guy, with three guys kind of running your face, and field it on the 15 and risk a muff, or step away and risk those additional 10 yards. I don't know what I would have done. It's pretty tough to critique that. It was so hard to field the ball. The guy I thought that should get a little high five here, though, is Marquise Cole, who did a nice job of just a little subtle nudge of one of those gunners as they were coming by. Mm-hmm. Kind of pushed him into the play to help that thing happen.
And I remember when Walker was here, they would put him out there in situations where you're just going for the fair catch. You want to secure the catch. Yeah. Why not if you're Jack Del Rio? And I think this is also coaching, too. Why send the protectors out there and have them run downfield, risk it? Wes is in there for a reason. It's not Holiday. You know, because Holiday had a little bit of the fumbles throughout the year. So you're putting Wes there to secure the catch. It should be just a straight-out fair catch. Keep all other 10 guys up. Wes, all you got to do is get under it.
Generally, you know, the rule of thumb is if it's inside the 10, you let it go. But you kind of seen where he was, and the ball bounces a couple yards in front of him. And granted, there is a wind moving, but we're putting you back there because we feel like you have the best hands and we have the most confidence that you're going
to
make that fair
catch.
We
used to do that with Kevin and Troy. Remember that?
Yeah.
Troy would secure the catch and Kevin would be short because, you know, if you get the wobbly weird one, you got a guy that doesn't have to be on a full sprint and you kind of just conceding the block in the front because you just want to possess it.
They did that last week with Amendola, right?
Yeah.
Danny?
In the Carolina game. Yeah. And he ended up catching it maybe taking for about 10, 12 yards.
All right. You two guys are the captain and or captains. And Bill Belichick sends you out there, and here we go. We're going into overtime. We just got done talking about Tom Brady's being one of the greatest weather quarterbacks and his spiral, and it cuts the win. And he threw three touchdowns going against the win in that third quarter. Would you have been shocked if you won the coin toss and your coach told you to defer and take the win?
Yeah, I would have to. I would be like, is that really what we're not receiving?
Because Brady was pretty good against the win.
Yeah, right? you're conditioned as a football player, offense and defensive player, when you do go into overtime, and if you do win the coin toss, generally, 9 out of 10 times, right, you're going to receive the football because you want to go down there and score and hopefully end the football game. But I guess Bill said that maybe when the wind was so bad going into it that he felt like it would be better to have the wind at his back because Denver would have had to get even deeper to try to kick a field goal. So good call on his part.
Yeah, and I think the comments from Del Rio in postgame were interesting because he talked about his communications with his special teams guy and at what yard line they felt comfortable. And you saw him at I don't know whether it would have been a 48-yard or 46-yard or whatever where they had options, and he said, no, not good enough. You know, like, so there was a lot of that conversation where I was pretty doubtful of the call as well, but I think it was validated from both the decision not to kick the field goal that weighed heavily on them, and then the final PBU that Tlaib had on where you saw the ball just, you know, surfing in the air for Adam Manning's hand. So inevitably it was the right call.
All right, guys, good stuff. Good stuff right there on that Bronco game, because when we come back, we got to talk about a call or a penalty that sort of has been paralyzing these guys in the zebras. That's right, the uniforms, because it seems like they're afraid to call it. That and more when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
The Putnam Player Spotlight this week is on Jamie Collins. The Patriots' first choice in the 2013 draft, the 6'3", 250-pounder came up big against the Broncos. The linebacker from Southern Mississippi had 10 tackles. And the 24-year-old's pass breakup against Wes Welker forced Denver to punt in overtime. This week's Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, all decorated up for the holidays, at least a little bit. We are not here at Christmas yet. But All right, we got to talk about the referees, guys, because it really started with us on Monday Night Football down in Carolina. You got the call, but you didn't get the penalty on Rob Gronkowski. Then there's the Patriots game again. Kembrell Tompkins on the backside, off the play action. Somebody's all over his back. Brady went right to that back judge, side judge. They huddled. It seems like they're afraid to actually make the call. Wiggy, what's going to go on with this rule as we progress here? Are there changes that need to be made?
Well, I think there has to be more consistency. I don't think you can change the rules in any way because it's so hard to call pass interference. Mm-hmm. I just think there has to be more consistency. Do we let them go a little bit more, or do we – any type of contact that might affect a guy's route or his ability to make a play, we throw the flag.
For a linebacker, it's tougher. You've got length. You're usually bigger than the guy, but you got to pull yourself back in. That's the one that creeps up. The thing I don't like about this, though, is I think it's sort of the shades of gray. I mean, from interference to holding to illegal contact, there's just too much there. And I think it puts a lot. I mean, I don't feel sorry for it, but I understand the conflict in front of a lot of these guys. They've got different sets of rules. They also have this situation where, let's be honest, there's an interpretation about certain times of the game, which certainly isn't written in the rule book, but I think when it doesn't materially affect the play at the end of the game, they don't call it, or they do call it, but that's not something that's black and white. So it's just, it's dependent upon the individual guy that's calling it, how he's feeling it. I think there's some inconsistencies, so people look and go, was that the right call or not?
And if it's a judgment call, and I'm the back judge, or if I'm the umpire, and this ball's 25, 27 yards downfield, I know that my decision, you know, the element of the human error, right. Say I call that, that's a spot foul.
Yeah.
Do they need to change it to just being a set yardage? Right. See, I think it's a ridiculous call when you see the grotesquely underthrown ball.
But if they do that, then
you're going to see more calls.
But then what's going to happen is guys are going to, you know, blatantly just hold tackle, and do things because they know, all right, it's only a 15-yard
penalty.
It's
like a breakaway on a fast break. Yeah, you know it's going to be two shots.
Yeah, it's like a 15-yard penalty. So, you know what, the guy's got me beat by 30 yards. I'll just, you know, I'll hold him. And now you're only getting 15 yards when potentially you could have had a 30 or 40-yard, 50-yard game.
What do you guys think about Bon Jovi potentially owning a football team? Now, he had the Philadelphia Soul, the Arena League, asked Bill this last week. Hey, I mean, he owns the Buffalo Bills and makes an attempt to buy them when I know they've kind of backed off that as of late. But there's some interest in he likes football. You guys have seen him around practice.
He's
Would that break
on a prayer,
the inner circle
right?
of trust, Belichick?
I don't know. He's living on a prayer. Isn't that what it is?
Well, he used to work on the docks all day, right?
The steel horse he rides. I don't know. I just think you look at NFL owners, right? He got to have a lot of money. Does he have that much money?
He's probably worth, ballpark estimate, probably around $300-400 million.
Is that worth enough to buy?
I think a billion gets you into the club now. Yeah. So it's not just him. I mean, you guys play with Curtis Martin. He tried to put a group together for the Jets. It's got to be multi-diverse.
Yeah. This is like the Jay-Z thing or like the Michael Jordan owns part of the Wizards kind of thing. Like, this is minority share, I best guess. It's a good thing from a PR standpoint, but I don't know. Athletes, entertainment.
All right, I know you guys like spaghetti. We're going to talk about making some Italian food. We're going to make some sauce. Talk about those tomato cans coming up next. Houston Texans when we return. Hey, time to get your leather jackets out. I have those ones with patches on the sleeve, kind of like the old professor ones. Homecoming week. That's right, homecoming week. Heading down to Houston. Take a look at Houston Texans. One of the things they do well, freeze the tape right there. They got a guy right here by the name of J.J. Watt that can get upfield and get down. Go ahead and clear it. Remember, Von Miller did it against the Patriots this past week with Nate Solder on the left side. So if I'm Nate Solder, I got to watch out for this guy on my left. This is the only thing that the Houston Texans really do well. Take a look at him right here. Got to freeze the tape right there. One-on-one, crash the guy down inside. Now here's what's going to be problematic is his ability, go ahead and roll the tape, that when Tom Brady is throwing the football, and he knows I can't get there. He's the guy that goes vertical, gets the hands in the air. And then right here in the middle, just watch. Right here, you got him moving. Here he comes up underneath. Nice little leverage. Boom. Last thing you would want is to have this guy get up under the chin of your quarterback, Tom Brady, because the way I've been looking at it, Tom Brady's getting cranked up. There's Zosho. Watch out for J.J. Watt.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, the Patriots this week. Again, guys, the Houston Texans. We're going to see them again. This time last year, they came into Foxborough riding high, 11-1. They got off those buses outside, had these nice Letterman jackets on. Remember Anthony Smith had one? Looked pretty good. I mean, it's pretty imposing if you like Varsity Blues, that movie, the high school movie. Since they came into Foxborough, this Texans team, 4-14. Matt, start with you. What's the problem? Was it Kubiak the coach to begin with, or was it the commitment to a guy like Matt Schaub that seems, I'll put it out there, afraid to play the position? Seems like he's afraid to get hit.
I don't know about that. It's when you ever try to put one finger on a problem that complex, I think you're gonna miss. But they've had injuries.
So have the Patriots.
Exactly. And not everyone's built to overcome them. And I think you see a lot of teams crumble, and that's what's good about this place. They build for depth. But I think they've missed on some guys. Posey was the third-round pick that was supposed to become a big addition for Schaub. DeAndre Hopkins has been a nice enough first-round wide receiver. But it's always been just Arian Foster, who's now injured and out. It's been one receiver, one back, and a pretty good quarterback, and then a really good defense. Well, they've had problems with – there's been holes in all of that. So I think the problem is complex. But hey, they got a nice stadium.
What can create a problem for the New England Patriots on Sunday? I think we're all going to pick the Patriots.
I would say defensively would be the only problem if the Patriots turn the football over and give Houston some short fields. But, you know, when you asked the question to Matt about what it is about the Texans, I think I'm kind of like, I agree with you, Zoe. I think it's a combination of the head coach. I've always felt like he should have been fired like 2 years ago. I feel like he's 2 or 3 years past his prime, and he should have been fired a couple years ago. I think Schaub is not really the guy that you put a team on his shoulder, and I think that's what, when you look at the Texans, that's what they asked him to do. I don't think he's that guy. And just offensively, they have talent, but Andre Johnson, I think there's just a lot of problems going on. Defensively, they're good. They have the talent, but they just can't seem to play consistent football on defense. So, to me, I just look at if the Patriots don't turn the football and they look at this game and say, hey, we're going to go out there and play our A game and not look at the opponent, play our football game, I don't think this is a game they worry about.
I still think they have some guys that have some pride, guys like J.J. Watt who are going to get after it. You got Will Svitek in there now, Marcus Cannon. I think continuity up front for the offensive line. If I'm the Patriots, I'm worried about protecting Tom Brady in this football game.
They took Seattle overtime. They played Arizona within three and Indy within three. This is a team not to worry.
And also their captain, Andre Johnson, said they're the worst team in football. So that tells you what's going on in the locker room.
I think he used another word. We can't say it on this program. Yeah. All right, guys, stay right there because when we come back, our picks are next and our game changer.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
I'm Brian Lowe with your Week 13 Fantasy Lowdown. Don't expect 91-yard touchdowns every game like Michael Floyd had 2 weeks ago, but the Arizona wideout is healthy, productive, and facing the 32nd-ranked Eagles pass defense. Start Michael Floyd. Who to sit? Lamar Miller. He is squarely the Dolphins' starting running back with Daniel Thomas' injury, but he's struggling and is up against the Jets. For a sleeper, keep Toby Gerhart in mind with his recent uptick in opportunity and production.
The Fantasy Lowdown is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week. Time now for our picks and our game changers, starting with Matt Chatham. What do you got?
I'm going to go Patriots 30-17. I think this is going to be a game where I'm looking to watch Chandler Jones. He'll be my game changer. He's a guy that's been getting after the quarterback, making plays each and every week. Young quarterback on the other side. Keep your eye on Chandler.
Wiggy.
Yeah, it's simple. My pick is this. I like the Patriots in this one, 34-17. My game changer is going to be on the opposite side of Chandler Jones. I'm going Rob Ninkovich. I think this guy's going to have a big game.
All right, guys. I'm going to take the Patriots in this one. No shocker there. 34-10 over the Texans. Continuity up front, I'm going with the offensive line as my game changer. Big week for Dante Scarnecchia. That's going to do for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. Thanks for watching. See you next time on Patriots This Week.
trying to win it in overtime. The snap, the spot, the kick is airborne to the uprights, and the kick is a game winner. The Patriots come back and beat the Broncos 34-31.